annual celebrations of resurrection spanning years after years after multiplied years. And so how many Easter mornings do you have under your belt? Can you count them? And how may Easter 2019, what might it have to offer us? Is Easter a mere review, or is there a resurrection going on? For some, Easter is an important day, but they really cannot tell you why, other than the ham and the fancy eggs and the hats and the extra day off from work. Easter is important for some reason. If we were to take a poll why we've come here this morning, there would be plenty given, I suppose. Reasons everywhere from it's polite, it's an obligation. Reasons put forth like it's a weekly habit to come here on Sunday, it's a divine purpose. We might even hear that Easter is a lovely tradition and we should keep it up, to a need that we might have deep in our souls. Others will come here suspended somewhere between deep faith and an arm cross, prove it to me, sucker attitude. Go ahead, prove it. Prove it to me. How we position ourselves on Easter 2019 will vary, I suppose. This morning, we will hear three scripture lessons read aloud. After and between those, I will go on to tell you about some people I know, persons that I know who have tilted my Easters so that I could see them better. For I think it's true what I read last week, that a church doctrine of the resurrection is rather easy to nod your head and believe in. A more pertinent question would be, have we encountered the risen Christ? Let us hear from scripture number one.
Isaiah 65, beginning at 17. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat hay like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
I was sitting alone as introverted loners sometimes do when she pulled up a chair beside me. I want to talk, she said. Now, I am no expert in reading faces or understanding the finer points of body language, but her posture seemed tired. She settled back in her chair with a slump, her shoulders sagging under a weight that she was carrying, a weight she couldn't see. Can we talk? She began. The gaze in her eyes was far off, as if she was located somewhere else, and in many ways she was. Her mind was back there. And then her words began to spill out a remorse of an affair, of knowing better to begin with, of having been raised in a church. She had a collection of heaven and hell sermons rattling in her memory, and they haunted her. She was raised in a Christian household, having memorized and rehearsed Bible verses in Sunday school. She had Christian reminders hanging in her house and dangling from her mirror in her car. And yet her failure was there on her shoulders that day, expressed in her drawn cheeks, etched in her darkened eyes that would not let her sleep. Sleepless nights, which then spawned so much more. Days off from work had crunched her checkbook. Raising children takes energy of its own, and when the affair puts a face in your living room and you don't have the option to forget it completely, the reminders are real, they're there every day, and the remorse keeps looking back, and the shame keeps hanging on like a leech. In the moment, her sunken eyes and soft voice were very real. She had, as marathoners will often tell you, hit the wall. She had come up against it, torn between stopping or keeping going. And she wanted to know what I thought. And from nowhere, I blurted out the words, "Then what?" And she said, "What?" And I repeated them slower, "Then what? What comes next?" And she sat still for a very long time. There is an Easter impulse some of us have going, and it will often come wrapped in the best of religious intentions, that God did something miraculous by raising Jesus from the dead. And that certainly is the case. That certainly is the case. Hear me on this. That certainly is the case. But the Easter impulse that sometimes floats about is that God did that. God did that back then. And that now God is all done with his doing, which is kind of where this woman was. She had hit the proverbial wall and was about to stop. The Isaiah scripture that we just heard was written down hundreds of years before Jesus' resurrection came along, but even so, it does tell us something about God, how God operates. "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating." In what I am creating. A big then what, a big then what comes next, if there ever was one. And not only did the quiet woman sitting in front of me need to hear that from Isaiah, I did too. She had tilted my Easter a little bit more. So then what? Be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. Which is good news for those of us with religious types who often labor in the fertile field of the backfields of coulda and shoulda and woulda.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. Jesus has risen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they all told these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened.
If you were listening, if you were following along, we just heard Luke say it this way, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn," which is more the hours of first-time hunters on opening trout season, or surgeons or farmers, early dawn, Early dawn is what it says in Luke. In the Gospel of John, it reads, early on the first day of the week while it was still dark. And while it was still dark is a detail that we might want to consider. For in the dark, we cannot see the goings on. We cannot see the actual happenings. Just outside the old city wall of Jerusalem is a church called the Basilica of Agony. It is also known as the Church of All Nations. It was built next to the Garden of Gethsemane. It is built to host pilgrims on their journeys to the Holy Lands. And just inside the door is a sign that warns visitors, no explanations inside the church. The sign is posted to allow for quiet prayer with no shouted lectures to disturb them. And really, maybe we preachers would do everyone a favor by cutting short our attempts to explain the resurrection, which took place in the dark, no webcam to record it, with no one around to see it. I got to know her about 20 years ago, actually, and she is a strange combination, she is, of both tragedy and resilience. She was born into the kind of poverty that many will soon turn away from with a whisper, white trash, or up our way, you would sometimes hear trailer trash, and people would move on. Her dad drank too much and died too early. She was there as her stepsister was buried and her younger brother was buried, and I went with her one day to bury her first stillborn child. And yet, somehow she persists, and I do not know how she does it. Through the night classes of a college degree, through the birth of three children, through the philandering husband and the failing efforts to mend and an eventual divorce, landing squarely in a life of single parenthood, and through, sadly enough, the implosion of her childhood church from an abusive mess and its fallout, and yet, she persists in her faith with a careful brightness upon her face, with a ready humor coming from an unknown source. She so much could have or should have crushed her, but it has not. And who knows about these things, what gets carried forward in one's DNA, if she has been helped by her Irish roots to persist so valiantly against a stacked deck. It is really quite amazing to see her live. And who knows, perhaps the sign just inside the Church of All Nations door is correct, to get quiet and pray, that explanations that can never quite cover what is happening in the dark before anyone gets to the tomb. What we know from the scripture from Luke is that in the early dawn hours, while it was still dark, it was hard to assemble any kind of the details that happened, but business as usual had turned into business as unusual. There was a stone that had been securing the tomb, business as usual, but now there was an unsecured tomb with the stone rolled off to the side, and with no one inside the tomb, business had moved over to the unusual. And with a posse of women with their usual assortment of embalming spices in their hands, now standing on site with only grave clothes left lying flat in their place, and with spices now with no apparent use at all, business had certainly turned unusual with nothing left but amazement, which also well captures what I've seen going on in my Irish friend. A thread of resurrection that did not stay locked down, but that still shows up in Easter's well past the first one. And I cannot tell you the details of how it happened with her. All I can tell you is that she is amazing and that she tilted my Easter towards the long haul.
Turn to number 280 in the blue book, hymn worship book 280.
The Lord is risen today. Alleluia. All creation joins to say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumph.
This is a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 through 26 in the New Revised Standard Version. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Here at Marion, we have had two funerals here at our church in a short span of time. It is Easter morning, so we might as well go ahead and say it out loud. Two deaths, two funerals. And in many ways, we knew they were coming. We saw Thurman getting weaker and weaker, and by his own report, could tell that his own death was close at hand. Closer than we all thought. And Joyce, we knew, she knew it was coming sooner rather than later. Plans were afoot ahead of time, along with plenty of waiting. And then it came about, their deaths. And no matter how much you plan ahead, when the death of a loved one comes, we are left wobbly. For a death never comes on time, and it still surprises us when it does. Nicholas Waltersdorf is a man who lost his own son in a mountain climbing accident, and he talks about the grief, the ache that comes when with all your heart you want that person to be back there with you, next to you, like always, but it cannot be arranged. And so there comes this gap, this hole that we inherit, and we live with it. For you, Ruth, for you, Menno, and for your families, and for Sharon and Mark and Nancy, especially for you all, and the losses that we all remember and share in our hearts, this Easter scripture lesson comes closer than ever, closer than any other time. For it, like the other two, is a then what scripture, a confident then what happens next lesson in our scriptures. My two friends deep down know for sure that God is creating a new heavens and a new earth, and that when it comes to God, business does not go on as per usual. It does not. There is an empty grave, which is quite unexpected. Yes, in this last scripture lesson, we get another then what comes, and it begins like this. And it even sounds a little tongue-in-cheeky, if you ask me. It reads, if for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. If for in this life only we had hoped in Christ, we are most to be pitied. There is a big then what happens next piece to this. That death may very well have come through a human being, Adam, but resurrection of the dead also comes through a human being, Christ. And in the end, when all rulers and all authorities and powers are defeated, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death will be destroyed. Defeated death is what's coming next. A tilt to our own 2019 Easter morning. Amen.